Today, are you discouraged because of something you fear the most? You're not alone. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
We want to look at this subject today, what the devil fears most. It's the weapon that God has given us to fight off the devil's discouragement and to fight off the devil's depression. See, because there is something that God has given us that will put the devil to flight, that will cause the devil to run and hide. What is that something? Is it preaching? Do our programs at church, does that put the devil to flight? No.
This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and the focus of our hope today lies in a proper understanding of how to defeat the devil by effectively using against him what he fears the most. However, we often overlook one of the greatest weapons at our disposal. It's the key that opens the arsenal to all the weapons that God has provided for us in waging war against our deadly foe. Today's message is entitled, What the Devil Fears Most. So get ready for the battle. Open your Bible now to Ephesians chapter 6, as Pastor Jeff Shreve will help us discover our most potent weapon in our God-given arsenal to defeat the evil one. Why? Because it's what the devil fears most. Here's Pastor Jeff.
My wife loves pets. I tolerate pets, but I love Debbie. So we have two cats and two dogs. And Max, he's really the slow one of the group. I mean, really, if Max had a brain cell, it would die of loneliness. And it's just a blank thing there. There's no brain activity. Manny is pretty smart, the other little dachshund. He's pretty smart. And Manny thinks he is so bad. And if people come over to the house, boy, he is just quick to bark and act so tough. And he weighs like 7 pounds or 10 pounds or whatever. I mean, he's a wimp. But he just acts so tough, and they'll come to the door and he'll bark and bark and bark. And Max will just say, hey, I guess it's time to bark. I don't know what's going on, but I'll bark too. And so he barks. But when that stranger comes into the house, barking Manny is still barking, but now it's from under my bed. He hides under the bed, and you can just hear him barking under the bed. He's afraid of strangers. Now, we are in a series, Braveheart, Becoming a Warrior for Christ. And we want to look at this subject today, what the devil fears most. See, because there is something that God has given us that will put the devil to flight, that will cause the devil to run and hide. What is that something? Is it preaching? Does preaching put the devil to flight? No. Do our programs at church, does that put the devil to flight? No. It's prayer. Prayer is what causes the devil to flee. The devil mocks our schemes and our plans and our programs and our organizations, but he fears our prayers. Now, when we talk about prayer, most people, if you're honest, most people say, I don't do very well with praying. That's kind of a hard place in the Christian life for me. And we tend to have prayers that are at mealtimes, prayers that are when you're in a crisis, you know, and then they start to really come forth. And when you just found out you have cancer, or there's some crisis in your family, then you really begin to pray. We tend to have prayers that are so mechanical and so canned and so programmed. I mean, we say the Our Father and we just go through that, the Lord's model prayer, and we just say those words and we say, you know, I've prayed. I've had people tell me they're not right with God, but they say, you know, I always say my prayers every night. Well, what are they saying? They're just saying they push a button inside here that's like play, and they just spout out some things. Their mind's a million miles away. Their heart's not right with God, but they say these words. Well, that doesn't get the Lord's attention. Those kinds of prayers that are only in crisis, that are just repeating words, that are canned stuff, that doesn't grab hold of heaven. You don't see God work miraculously in your life if that's how you pray. But listen, this is not a message today to beat you up because you're not praying good enough. It's to encourage you because God wants to change our prayer lives. God wants to teach us about prayer so that we can get a hold of Him, so that we can see the enemy's chains broken off of our lives and off of our families, so that we can see great and mighty things that the Lord longs to show us happen in this city, in our lives, in our families, in our schools, and that would shake the world for Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to do. So as we look at what the devil fears most, prayer, turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Paul writes these words. He was in prison when he wrote them, in a Roman prison. He says this, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul wrote Ephesians. He's incarcerated in Rome. He writes the book of Ephesians, a great book. And in chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, he begins to speak about spiritual warfare. And he talks about how we need to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, and we need to put on the full, complete armor of God so that we can resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. And he talks about he was chained to Roman soldiers so he could just see what a Roman soldier was dressed like. And he talks about how you and I need to have the belt of truth that the Roman soldier would wear. And he likened it to the Christian life, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have to have your shoes on so that you can stand in the battle. He said you have to pick up the shield of faith. You have to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the helmet of salvation, all the armor of the Roman soldier. And then he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Prayer is so important because prayer gives power to the armor of God. Prayer gives power to the word of God. Prayer gives power to the shield of faith. With all prayer and petition, you can't stand firm without prayer. You know, prayer and the armor of God, how they fit together, so beautifully illustrated in the Old Testament when God's people in Exodus chapter 17 were fighting the Amalekites. And Moses sent Joshua and the people down to fight them, and he went up on the hill to lift up the rod of God, a symbol of prayer, and to lift up his hands in prayer to God. And as Moses' hands were lifted up in prayer, Joshua and the Israelites prevailed. But his hands got heavy, his hands got tired, and when his hands went down, then the enemy prevailed against Joshua and the Israelites. And so what they did was they had Aaron and Hur come, and they raised up Moses' arms. And as Moses' arms, symbolizing prayer and calling upon the Lord, as his arms were up, then Joshua prevailed. See, if you don't have prayer and a powerful, effective prayer life, you're not going to be victorious over the enemy. Now, he says in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer means all manner of prayer. So I want you to look at what types of prayers are needed to defeat the devil. What types of prayer? Because prayer is broad. So what do you need when we say prayer? Is it just now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep? Is that the kind of prayer he's talking about? No. All manner of prayer. Look at the first type. The first type of prayer that you need in your life is thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. Over and over and over again in the Bible, you will read where God tells us, the Psalms especially, to praise Him. To thank Him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. God tells us to do that. Now, I have found in my own life, it's easy to do that when everything's going well. But how about when things aren't going so well? How about when you lose your job? How about when you don't have any money to pay your bills? How about when you find out that you have cancer? How about when your loved one dies? How about when there's that disaster that hits your family with your teenage son or daughter that goes haywire on you? You're supposed to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. What constitutes everything? The good things, the bad things, the sweet things, the sorrowful things. All things make up everything. And we're to thank God and praise God always for all things. Why is that? Because that honors God. It honors God when you give Him thanks and praise. Look at Psalm 50, verse 23. He who offers, the Lord says, a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. A sacrifice. See, sometimes it's hard because things aren't going well. You know, if Ed McMahon comes by your house and says, hey, you just won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, here's $1 million. Thank you, Lord. But if you have a bill collector come and say, hey, your spouse has a credit card that you didn't know anything about and you are delinquent and we're turning you over to a collection agency and we're going to repossess your car, all the different things that can happen to a person, then you have to offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving because it's not just coming out naturally. But he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors God, glorifies God. It shows God that I still trust you, God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 in verse 30, the scripture says this, the Lord says, the one who honors me, him will I honor. If you honor God, he will honor you. And so he says, give me thanks and give me praise. It's so important to have your prayers filled with praise. You read in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, all the prayers of different ones, you'll find that they're just filled with praise. The first part of their prayer time is just filled with praise to God. Praise is so important. You know why praise is so important? Not just because it honors God, but because of the warfare. Because the devil traffics in discouragement. The devil likes to work on a person to get them beaten down and discouraged and depressed. He is the master of a heavy spirit. And when bad things happen, the devil wants to move in and just put a blue mood over that person to get you discouraged, to get you to throw in the towel and quit. But thanksgiving and praise, that's the weapon that God has given us to fight off the devil's discouragement and to fight off the devil's depression. Have you ever noticed when people get depressed and discouraged, they tend to play music, the blues. You ever had that happen? I mean, you're sad. And things aren't going well. You miss your loved one, and you're so sad. So you put in some sad song, and you just sit and cry. When I was in college, my girlfriend was in Houston. She was a year behind me, and she was still in high school, and I'm a freshman in college, and all my buddies are out, whatever they were doing at their fraternity, and here I'm at home on a Friday night in my dorm room, and I'm doing calculus homework. What a nerd. And I'm sitting there doing all this homework on a Friday, and I didn't have anybody to do anything with that first semester, and I just remember missing her, and I was so sad, and put on our favorite song, our song, and I listened to that, and just looking out the window, just wishing I could be in Houston. It's just so miserable. But we tend to do that. I mean, there's a whole genre of music called the blues. It's just for people who are sad that talk about sad things. Country and Western music filled with sad songs. Have you ever noticed that? Phil Arms used to say, if it weren't for bars and divorce, they'd have nothing to sing about. But they're just filled with sad songs. Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue. Crystal Gayle, that's a popular song. Hank Williams had I'm So Lonesome, I Could Cry. That's the way I felt in freshman in college. I should have put on Hank. Willie Nelson had the song Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain. Those are popular songs. We all heard of them. They're sad songs. There's some other country and Western songs that some of us probably haven't heard of, but they're also sad. One of them said this, Welcome to Dumpsville, Population Me. That's just a sad song. Another country and Western sad song. My John Deere was breaking your field while your dear John was breaking my heart. That's just a sad song. The last one that I ran across, country and Western blues. I'm so miserable without you, it's almost like having you here. I mean, that's just sad. But you know, we really tend to do that. I've shared with you before when my mother was going through a hard time as a little kid, she would listen to this sad song about alone again, naturally, and she and my dad were having some marital problems, and she was alone, and she would listen to that song, and the tears would just roll off her cheeks. What do you do when you're discouraged? The scripture tells us what to do. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Take the garment of praise. Put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Don't listen to the blues. Start listening to the praise and start to thank God and start to praise God and put music in your house 24/7 that just praises and extols God for his goodness and his grace. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is forever faithful. And I don't care what's going on in your life. You may have lost your last friend, but you didn't lose him. And he loves you, and he is able to work miracles. So you fill your heart and your life and your home with praise. That's the weapon that God has given us. That drives away a blue mood. Warren Wiersbe said, not only does prayer change things, but praise changes things. Praise. God's people in the Old Testament, under King Jehoshaphat, they had all the enemies coming in against them. And they were so outmanned and so overrun. And Jehoshaphat was a godly king. And he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, you see what's happening. And Lord, we're getting ready to be wiped out here. And we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And the Lord sent word to Jehoshaphat. And he said, I'm going to fight for you, Jehoshaphat. You don't have to do any fighting. He said, all you got to do is praise. And the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 22, and when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. Your enemies that are coming against you, the devil and his demonic horde, they will be routed as you begin to sing and praise and fill your life with thanksgiving and praise to God. It is so very important. You want to overcome the devil, you want to put him to flight, you need prayers of thanksgiving and praise. Second type of prayer, you need prayers of confession. Prayers of confession. Hey, you can't live a victorious Christian life unless you're a good repenter. Why is it so important to be a good repenter? Because you as a human being are a good sinner. You're good at doing that, and so am I. We're all susceptible to sin. All of us have feet of clay. And we fall into sin, the sins of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, it says the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. And in case he missed anything, he says, and things like these. It just covers it all. And we all fall into those categories and say, yeah, I have trouble. I have trouble with pride. I have trouble with selfishness. I have trouble with lust. I have trouble with greed. I have trouble with bitterness. I have trouble with envy. I have trouble with jealousy. See, when those things come into your life, you have to be good at repenting. You have to be good at confession. Some people get the wrong idea that, you know, to live the Christian life, you have to have sinless perfection. And God only uses those who are sinlessly perfect. Listen, if that were the case, God would never use anybody. Because nobody can stand before God and say, in and of myself, Lord, I've been able to live this Christian life and I never fall. David fell terribly and God used him. Moses fell terribly and God used him. Moses had an anger problem. Moses killed an Egyptian. That's kind of bad to have on your record when you're serving the Lord. Peter was so sinful when the Lord was working miracles in his midst, he said, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. He didn't say, I was the chief of sinners. He says, I am the chief of sinners. And God used him. So you don't have to be sinlessly perfect for God to use you and for God's power to be on your life. But this is what you have to do. You have to deal with sin in your life. And when sin comes into your life, when you fall into an area of sin, you have to immediately get it out and you have to confess it. And listen, you write this down. Sin cannot have a home in your heart. If you give sin a home and a place in your heart, you are dead meat. And the devil is just going to eat your lunch.
You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And as we've just heard, sin in your heart really provides a staging area where Satan can launch attacks into your life. We've also learned today that we shouldn't allow him that room. We need to be honest about the sin in our lives and place it under the finished work of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We'll hear more about the dangers of leaving sin unchecked in your heart and life in just a moment. The message today is entitled, What the Devil Fears Most. And to be honest, there are a lot of us who are more afraid of the devil than we have faith in God to defeat the devil. But God has made some promises and given us some weapons to defeat Satan and be victorious. if we'll trust God. In your marriage, work, family, inner thoughts, temptations, and emotions, whatever it is, God wants us to fight those spiritual battles with the right weapons and the right trust in Him. One way to do that is to know how Satan works, and Pastor Jeff makes that crystal clear in his 8-message series entitled Fake News, Exposing the Lies of the Devil. In this series, Pastor Jeff will show you how Satan slips in his deceit, dishonesty, and evil schemes to keep us from God or growing closer to Him by not trusting the promises of God. And this month, for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you this series on either CD, DVD, on a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download. It's our thanks for your support to this outreach this month, as you help us to minister to people around the world and help them learn to trust God with all their hearts. You can get this series when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. God bless you for standing with us to encourage the world for Christ and squash the fake news of the devil. Now let's conclude part one of the lesson entitled, What the Devil Fears Most. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
David said in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. The Lord won't hear my prayer if I have a home for sin in my heart. If somebody hurts my feelings a little bit or a lot, and I allow the sun to go down on my hurt and my anger, and I don't get things right, and I let my heart get bitter, that's a sin in my heart. I've harbored iniquity in my heart. The Lord will not hear me. And I can't have communion and discussion and fellowship with God when there's sin in my life. There's a great verse I think about often when I go to bed. Psalm 132, verse 4. Says, I will not give sleep to my eyes, nor slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. What does that mean? It says, don't go to bed until you're right with God, until all your sins are confessed and under His blood. It is so important. Maybe you're here today and you're living in sin. You're harboring sin in your heart because you're not married and you're living with your lover. That's a sin. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Maybe you're here today and you're living in adultery and you say, well, my spouse doesn't know, but I'm sneaking away and playing around and committing adultery. That's what you're doing. Well, God knows. And you're not going to have any relationship with God if you do that. Sin can't have a home in your heart. And confession is so critical. Why? Because God's Spirit needs to be in control of you.
You and I can't serve two masters. There must be genuine repentance and turning from sin if you're to have victory in your life. We'll learn more about this confession that is so needed when dealing with sin in the heart of believers. That's on Tuesday on From His Heart, with the conclusion to the lesson, What the Devil Fears Most. So please be with us then. Today's message was significantly edited for time, but the full-length version is available on a single audio CD, DVD, or downloadable MP3 when you go to fromhisheart.org. It's from Pastor Jeff's series, Brave Heart, Becoming a Warrior for Christ. Just go online to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Well, time is gone for today. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us so much, and we hope that you'll be back on Tuesday as we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to fromhisheart.org.